Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
Listening to the True Glory Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit, some of the other games, you know, I know it wasn't a probably a vintage Warren Central offensive performance, but, you know, I think credit to Warren Central, too. They're starting to put it together. You can see the pieces there. And I'm curious, in 2 weeks they play Center Grove, but right now, they're sitting at 2-2, and two tough losses to start out, but two really good opponents as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of Warren. I'm going to see them in person this week too. But LC, you know, they make maybe one of those sleeper teams this year that has a chance to do some damage.
It is possible. I would like to see them continue to improve. Coach Patterson has really built a program into something that is molded his own. A lot of his guys over there are battling. And their game plan against Warren this past week was brilliant. And this is a LC team that returned a lot of players that beat Warren Central last year in the playoffs at their place, at LC in the opening round. Their quarterback, Luther, made some great plays, made a great bomb to, I think it was Duffy, their wide receiver, and they just put it on them. And then their defense, defense coordinator Wayman Edmond had a brilliant game plan and forced Warren to beat them versus running, passing the ball. Did some lockdown on the run and, you know, forced four turnovers all in the second quarter, first half, I should say. Four turnovers, one of those being a pick six, the other three setting up four more scores for LC. Warren just couldn't get out of their way in the first half, second half. They tried to come back, but just wasn't enough. So hats off to those Lawrence Central Bears, man. They played a great game, and Warren did not.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Warren here later. They play Ben Davis coming up this week as well.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Corey the Kid Smith, and this is True Warrior Football. And, man, what a game that was, and not a game, it was, I'm saying, in a good way. you know, what happened on Friday night for our team was about as bad, what happened in the second quarter for us was about as bad as what happened in the second quarter that was good for us against King 2 weeks prior. And it was definitely a game where I felt we were ready. I felt all week that this was going to be a moment where we take back, get ours back from last season, and continue to progress. Like I said a few weeks ago, each week progress one step after another. We are going to slowly but surely build upon what we did great against King and continue to improve and get to being the true contenders for a state championship that I know our team is capable of being. And for the most part, we took a major, major step back. Not much more I can say. Sugarcoating it, I don't really want to sugarcoat it. We played an absolutely terrible game. And I can harp on offense, But I'm going to start with the guys I give the most pride and love to is our defense. Our defense did not play well enough for the most part to win the game. Now, people say, well, Corey Kidd, man, come on now. You can't put it all on defense. They were put in the position. Yeah, I get it. A couple of those scores, though, were scores that were very preventable. We must do better at making tackles. We must do better at making tackles. Each and every game we've had poor tackling, missed tackles, not getting to the quarterback, not getting to the running back, and making a play behind the line of scrimmage. We got to stop that. We have to do better than what we've done so far through four games. And every week, we've given up a touchdown of 50 yards or more. We did that against Center Grove. We had the big play from the guy from King. North Central, the guy, the wide receiver going to Purdue. Long bomb. This week, Duffy. Another long bomb. 80-yard touchdown. Longest touchdown we've given up this year. What are we doing? Come on, guys. We are so much better than that. Coach Tutsi, Coach Clark, Coach Temple, Coach Moore, Coach Willman, Coach Akers, all those guys are putting in so many great hours to getting you guys prepared. That is not what they're preparing. You guys are, our team, our defensive team is so much better than what we've put out on film so far. And that's scary in a way because I harp on them about how great we can be, but I still see us not fully getting to our potential just yet. And maybe that is a good thing. Maybe that is a good thing that we haven't fully reached our potential, that we still have a lot of things that we need to work on. It's the midway point of the season, and we're still making mistakes that should have been corrected a while ago. Or, you know, maybe it's new tendencies that our guys are doing that need to be corrected. Whatever the case may be, it's got to get fixed. It's got to get fixed. We can't have guys missing tackles. We can't have guys making mistakes and not getting to the quarterback when they're supposed to. We got to be better in coverage. We can't line up in the wrong spot. We can't be jumping off sides, get tricked to jump off sides. We got to make sure our alignments are correct. Remember, one of lethal weapons is alignment, assignment, attack. It's right there. You pass it every day in the locker room. Remember it because it's very key. And if you do those things well, 99% of the time, you're going to win that game. You're going to win your one-on-one individual battles. And yes, we were put in a bad spot far too many times on Friday night. But you know what? That's life. That's the game of football. That's the game of football. So if you want to moan and complain and blame it on the offense, hey, bag up your stuff and get out. Because if you want to play championship-level defense here, you got to take the good with the bad. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Matter of fact, the other night I was watching the Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks Monday Night Football game, and twice in that game, I saw the defense for the Seahawks with their backs right on the goal line make a stand and force two red zone turnovers, either a turnover on downs or a flat out force and fumble, and got them the ball both times. They went on to win the game. They put so much fear in that other team's offense in the Denver Broncos offense, and they got a $250 million quarterback in Russell Wilson, they were afraid to even attempt to go for it on 4th and 5 from midfield. Their defense put the fear in them that, hey, guys, anything short, we can't get. Don't tell me it's not possible for our defense to make plays on the goal line and get stops when we need it. Because we've done it. I've seen us do it. We did it 3 times against King. We did it a couple more times against North Central. Heck, we did it against LC. It's possible. So don't just automatically think, oh man, these guys are they're getting the ball starting at the 5. They're getting the ball starting at in the 10. They're in the red zone already. We can't stop these guys. No. We can't. I've seen us do it far too many times this year. And once again, like I said, if we want to be great, you're going to have those moments where you are going to have to prove that you are great. And I don't even have to go back that far. 2018, our last state championship game. Our last state championship team, excuse me. Okay? The great goal line stand. It's possible. Those guys wanted it more. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe our guys have to want it more than the other guys. Because after the game on Friday night, it was clear to me that those guys truly, truly wanted it more than we did. Flat out. And I gave him his props earlier this week as a guest on Next Gen Sports Show. And I talked to him for a while after the game. But man, Coach Wayman Edmond, former Warrior, Warrior legend, a Warrior great, defensive coordinator for the Lawrence Central Bears, coached those guys up very well on defense. And I could tell those guys won. And now that's defense. Special teams, that's all around, we have to do better. We got to make sure that we're paying attention to certain points in the game and being aware of what is getting ready to happen. Hey, offense is struggling. It's 3rd and long. Hey, punt team, get ready. They just scored a touchdown. KOR, where's our guys at? We just got a point. Kickoff, come on. But not even kickoff. PAT. It's little things, guys. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The little things like that with special teams will get you beat. I saw a stat that there were 10 field goals or PATs in the NFL missed in the 4th quarter this past Sunday. 10. The Colts just cut their kicker because of bad performance. Now, they didn't lose, but they might as well have. They might as well have lost on Sunday instead of just tying with the Titans, with the Texans. They might as well have lost. If we are making poor mistakes at the 3rd phase of the game, we will get beat by the other team, no matter how much talented we are than them. And if it's equal talent, we'll definitely get beat. 100% guarantee it. 110% guarantee it. And now to my offense. And I really, truly hate feeling like I have to be so harsh on you guys. because I love our players. I love them. I love our program so much. And if anybody's going to have your back as hard as any, you guys know I'm going to have your back, okay? I'm going to give you guys so much praise and admiration and respect when you guys deserve it. But I think I've done too much praise and not enough constructive criticism when it's deserved. In offense, I'm sorry, but you guys must step it up. You guys must step it up. The first two games of the season, we turned the ball over 4 times. In our last two games, we've turned the ball over 8 times. In those 3 games, we have 3 defensive touchdowns against us. 2 fumble recoveries for touchdowns, 1 pick 6. I go back to our second game of the season, King, we had another pick 6. So what is that? 4 defensive touchdowns on the year? That's far too much. Far too much. We're already, I think we're like -2 turnover differential on the season. With as great as our defense has played this year, with as many takeaways we've been able to force and come up with from the other teams, we're -2 on the season. We aren't going to improve and get to the place that we all want to be in if we don't cut down on the turnovers. Ball control, ball safety, ball security, call whatever you want. It must stop. And I don't know if it's scheme, if it's just the factoring of a younger quarterback, which it could possibly be. Keith Jackson has played phenomenal for us, being called in the way he has. And one thing I must say I admire about Keith is he doesn't get too down on himself when he is playing poorly. He goes out there and gives it his all. That is one thing I can take from this as a true positive in his growth as a player moving forward for us for in the future. That is one of the biggest positives I can take from our season so far, especially from him. But with that being said, there's a disconnect in our offense and what's going on. I can't truly understand if we are not coaching to our strengths, if we're not executing properly the way we're supposed to, or we're just making bad decisions. Making bad decisions on the plays, calling the wrong plays. I do not understand what it is. We got to turn it around. We must turn it around. I feel like our strength right now, the last two games before this past week, so against King and against North Central, we rushed collectively as a team for well over 700 yards. Well over 700 yards. We need more of that. Now, I don't know how many yards we had rushing this past week against LC, but I can tell you right now, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. We have to do better. Like I said last week, I feel like our true strength of this team is running the football. You throw a pass in there every now and then. You know, we have great wide receivers in JoJo and Joe Walker. And I get that. I truly get that. And our backs are good at catching the ball as well. We must punish our teams, our opponents. We must punish them each and every down. we must do so. If teams are going to line up and stuff the box and make our sophomore quarterback in KJ2 beat us, forget them. We should not be doing what they want us to do. We should enforce what we want to do. We have to remember we are Warren Central. They are not. We must play Warren Central football. We dictate what goes on. 8 men in the box, fine. Let's go. Jumbo package. We're running the ball. Off tackle, outside zone, whatever we have to do, running the ball, getting the ball into our playmakers, our four running backs that we have, Ronald, Rodney, Chris Jordan, Day-Day. We have to get those guys the ball, rushing the ball with them. And matter of fact, get some great in the second half. In the second half, we played so much better, so much better. And it was Keith rolling out and option, taking the ball himself and doing some great things. I would be absolutely fine with that. But what will hurt this team more, and I would absolutely hate it because I was starting to see little cracks of it Friday night on the sideline. Our continuation to do what hasn't worked for us. I saw it. I saw it from a lot of our offensive linemen. And I don't know if I jinxed them or what, but I saw Olin Ailey with the fire of, man, he was fired up. And he was fired up at everyone. It didn't matter. He hated what was going on. He was calling everybody out. And I love his fire attention, but we can't lose a guy like that because of what's going on poorly on the field, and it's not something that he is capable of controlling. And I truly feel I'm seeing him doing it, and he's the most obvious example I saw on Friday night. But I know there were more guys that were very upset with how things were going, and I know those guys this thing could go real bad real quick, and go real bad real quick. And this reason why I said against our great, as great of a win that was against King, I didn't want that to be the high point of our season. Just like I didn't want our victory over Ben Davis last year to be the high point of our season. And guess what? It was. One more win over Pike, a team that is not competitive against us, shouldn't ever be competitive against us, especially this season. And downhill against LN, downhill against Carmel, season's over against LC. I see it, and I want us, our team, to understand that if we don't come together and support each other, everything that all of our goals this year that you want to accomplish goes out the window. Goes out the window. And I think that is one of the major things. We have a few guys that are trying to be better leaders on this team, seniors in particular. But what our team lacks as a whole is cohesion, togetherness. Be a little pocket here, a little pocket there. You know, I'm trying to get guys riled up. have them. Come on, guys, offense, offense, And everybody looks at me like I'm,
I don't want to do that, man. I'm just on the sideline. I just got my jersey on, man. I'm cool, you know. And, you know, if I get in, I don't know if I'll get in or not, but, you know, I'm just going to be over here on the sideline talking, not really, you know, paying attention. I'm not going to get in.
We have to do better. We must do better because what I've seen is not going to get us to where we want to be. Which would be such a shame because this team is so talented. It came in 4 years ago with so much hope and expectations of greatness that they've not achieved. And I want to see them achieve that. Because I know winning it all, and I think most of us that were part of the dynasty in the early 2000s that won all those state titles, we know how hard it is, but we also know how special it is. But I think, and I truly feel this way, what we don't understand is how rare it really is. Winning one state championship is so freaking hard. Winning two in a row is incredible. Winning three and four, unheard of at the time. Being able to compete year in and year out for a state championship, that puts you in rarefied air. And I think most of our guys they don't understand how much it takes to get to that point. How much you have to dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself to the team, to your craft, to the skills that you have to get this team to that next level. Because that next level is very, very hard. There's a reason why I said I think it was last week, why some teams would kill for 5-4. Because those teams never get above 3 wins. Every year you look at their record, 2-8, 2-8, 1-9, 2-8, 0-10. You look at us historically, four wins in 2020 was the worst win total we had had in over 20 years. And we still won the sectional and made it to the regional championship against Center Grove before we lost. Beat a team that was far better than us, had a Division I quarterback that had beaten us earlier in the season, that we beat in a sectional championship. Those guys would have loved to have been in our place. Absolutely love Lawrence North, both Lawrence teams, really. Well, I can't say both Lawrence teams because Lawrence Central does have the state title and another state championship appearance in their pocket. So Lawrence North, on the other hand, would love to have been in our shoes at 4-6 and winning a sectional. And won a sectional last year, but it didn't much happen to them. So maybe that was their peak. Maybe they're satisfied with that now. Maybe that's the reason why they're playing so terrible. Well, they didn't play terrible against North Central this past week, so maybe they'll look like world beaters against us in 2 weeks. 3 weeks. I'm getting off topic. Sorry. I'm just so frustrated by what I saw from our offense this past Friday night, because I know for certain we can do better. Because I've seen it. And I know, God, man, and I say this because we have great running backs and great coaching by Coach Williams, and I think this is one of the toughest jobs he's ever had because he has four really good running backs. But truly, I hate singling or putting everybody off to the side, Rodney Johnson has to be the bell cow. He has to be the bell cow. He has to be the guy we get 20, 25 carries a game. If Rodney Johnson has to become the 2022 version of Ramir Elliott or Shakir Bell, if he can become what those two guys were for our program and put the team and the offense on their backs to get us where we need to be, which I believe he is very, very capable of doing so, then this team will go places. And yeah, we can sprinkle in some big runs with Chris Jordan, some big runs from Day-Day and Ronald in there, but Rodney Johnson should be getting the bulk of the carries. And if anybody has seen what he's been able to do in games this year, then they would probably be saying the same thing. And oh my God, I only get this frustrated with our team when we aren't reaching our potential that I've seen us reach before. So, like I said, our second quarter as a whole, offense, defense, special teams, was as piss poor of a performance from our team as I've seen of us as any quarter I can remember. And it was the absolute reverse flip of how great that second quarter was against King. The reverse was the case against LC this past week. We can't let that happen. We must do better. Coaches, players, everybody involved. And it's really, because this is, by all accounts, my favorite time of the year. Or not time. My favorite game of the year. Somebody asked me one time, what is Warren Beatty to you? And to me, it's like a family reunion and Christmas wrapped all into one. I get to see players, former coaches I haven't seen in a while that come back for the game if they aren't coaching anywhere else. Former players that, you know, got a break from college get to come in, or guys that were players years ago, I haven't seen them forever, they get to be back on the sidelines, come back for the game. Everybody comes back for this game. And for every year when I do this show, I always like to make this show, in particular, the week of this game, very special. One year I had Darren Evans on. I want to say I had Coach Tutsi on another week. Sometimes it works out great for me, and we have a great game. Other times, or a couple times, team fell short. But I put in my all to this show. And I try to put in my all every week, but in particularly with this week, with this show, I always like to make sure I bring it. And this week, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If we turn the ball over four times against Ben Davis, we will get beat 50 to 20. We will get beat 50 to 20. Because they are rolling in here with a quarterback that is possibly better than the guy that LC has. They have two explosive guys in Marquise Reese, the wide receiver, and Isaiah Price, Elijah Price, the Price kid. Two really good guys. And I'm sure they got some more weapons over there they're going to roll out that are just ready and waiting to get back at us from last year. And if we turn the ball over four times against them, they are going to tear us to pieces. As they should. As they should. If we do not take care of the ball, it will not be a good game for us. If we do not tackle their players, it will not be a good game for us. If we do not, if we miss tackles, miss sacks, let their guys get in space and if their band starts playing, we will be in a bad space. I want to beat these guys so bad. So bad. But I want to beat them every time I face Ben Davis. And why is that, Corey? Well, it's about this. This is the biggest and best rivalry in Indiana high school football. That's it. Everybody like, oh, well, you guys don't got a trophy. Hey, our trophy hangs up on walls for eternity. That's the trophy that we go for. The winner of Ben Davis Warren when played in the playoffs is for a state championship. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. I don't want nothing with their name in our building, and I want nothing with our name in their building. All right? Those other schools can keep their little bells and keep their whatever copper kettles. They can keep all that garbage. They can keep it all. They can keep it all. I looked at HSC and Fishers played this past week, and HSC won, and they got this little trophy about as big as my cell phone here. All right, it's we got the mud sock trophy is what it's called. Like a plaque you get at a corporate banquet. I don't want nothing like that. I don't ever want nothing like that. I get so fired up for this game. Bragging rights is all I want. All I want. I get so fired up by this game. I love when we go over there and beat them because I hate having them come over here and we got to face them in the pink jerseys. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Pink jerseys are great. I love them for every game that we wear them except for this one. Wear them for another game. I hope this is the last time we wear pink jerseys against Ben Davis. I've said it. It's done. Now, we got the pink jerseys in 2012. I don't think we start wearing pink jerseys against Ben Davis until 2016. Now, I remember it because that was the 10-year anniversary of the 2016. And people were asking me, like, hey, are they really going to wear pink jerseys against Ben Davis? And I had to hide my head in shame because, yes, we were. We won that game. It was a great game. But black against Ben Davis. Hashtag black against Ben Davis. That's all I ever want. Black against Ben Davis. We wear pink against Lawrence North. We can wear pink against Lawrence Central, Carmel, whoever. Black against Ben Davis. I say that, I think we're like We won in 2016, we won in 2018, 2020 we lost. So we're 2-1 wearing the pink jerseys against Ben Davis. So maybe they're not that bad, but you know, we shall see. We shall see. And we did do some good things against Lawrence Central. Let me go back to the Lawrence Central game because I feel like I've given so much criticism, I have to give praise. Tyrone Burris made a heck of a play coming out of halftime and getting the fumble recovery. He probably should have scored. If he was more savvy, he probably should have scored. That's another thing. Defense has almost had the opportunity to score a touchdown in 4 straight weeks. We block better against Center Grove. Lee gets Lee scores on his interception, fumble recovery, whatever you want to call it. That's one. Of course, Dev had his pick six against King. That's two. JoJo probably could have scored on his pick against North Central. And if Tyrone Burris was able to scoop and score and be an athlete, that'd be 4 straight games of defensive touchdowns. Maybe they equal it out for us a little bit with the troubles the offense has been having. Which goes back to what I said earlier. We got to be better. We got to be better. We got to be better. Because like I said, in fact, I had an opportunity to talk about this game with Kyle Niedenrip as well with Next Gen Sports. Let's take a look at what I said there.
So, game of the week this week is, you know a lot about this rivalry. We talked about it earlier, Ben Davis and Warren Central. Real quick, Corey, let's go with a couple keys of the game. Let's start with Ben Davis. How can the Giants win this game Friday night?
The Giants win this game by, you know, getting the ball to their key playmakers, Elijah Price. I think they have a wide receiver that's really good. I can't think of his
Marcus
name.
Marcus Reese.
If they get the ball in space to their guys and force their guys make Ben Davis or make Warren's defensive players miss tackles, then they're going to look really good. They take care of the ball, they're going to look really good. They don't give a lot of stops to Warren. They're going to be really good. They continue to make Warren pay on drive after drive after drive. Then they're going to be really tough to beat. And Warren's keys, they got to take care of the ball.
Yeah.
But they have to run the ball. They can pass it, but I feel like if they run the ball well, way more than they pass, get the ball into the hands of Rodney Johnson,
mm-hmm.
get the ball into the hands of Chris Jordan, Ronald Baskerville, and Damarion Harris, they're 4 great running backs, I feel like, and do a little option running with their quarterback, Keith Jackson Jr., then they'll look like the team that shocked the state when they beat Detroit King
mm-hmm.
in week 2. And if they do that and defense does what they should do, and it's be a very interesting game. I have a very, very love and passion for this rivalry. It's the best rivalry in Indiana State football, bar none. Cathedral Ron College should be a game that we get each and every year, but we don't get that game each year.
It's coming
year.
Back, but yeah, we've been without it for a while now.
Too long.
Yeah.
For far too long. Ron College Chittar is okay. Cathedral Chittar is okay. None of those guys are big boy Warren versus Ben Davis. This is a rivalry that for years when they met in the playoffs, it determined who was going to win state.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like both of these teams are contenders. Both of these teams want to get back to being at Lucas Oil. And they're both coming into the game 2-2. Really, the last couple years, they've been coming into the game either 2-2, 1-3 a couple times for Ben Davis as well. And they coming into those games 1-3, ended up winning against Warren. They had a better record.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, when they say throw the records out, they really can throw the records out because this record, these teams, they're so similar
mm-hmm.
to each other, and that's why you get these such passionate games and battles against each other, because it's like fighting against your own self in the mirror, man. They want to win this game. That's the reason why last year's game, the comeback was such an incredible, I thought it was the best game of all of high school football last year.
Mm-hmm.
By far. Being down 20 on the road, you throw in a quarterback, your backup quarterback in the second half, he comes out throwing BBs all over the place. And then still having to get an onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
An onside kick that you had to kick twice.
Yeah, hold your breath. It's going to be fun. East side, west side, it's always awesome. I think even though they both lost last week, it maybe adds a little bit of hunger, too. Like, hey, we got to get back on track. That could add a little bit of,
I bet you Coach Simmons and Coach Kirshner are going to have those guys focused for sure this week.
Yeah.
Very focused.
Should be fun. That'll be the game of the week coming up. Like I said, East Side, West Side. Ben yes. Davis, Warren, everybody knows what the deal is. It's always a great battle between those two teams, as everybody knows. And bragging rights and more on the line Friday night.
And I know Coach Tussie's going to coach up those guys on the Warren Central defense. And Coach Mann, who used to coach defense at Warren, is now defense coordinator at Ben Davis now. So it's going to be very, very interesting this Friday night.
A lot of intertwining. As Corey mentioned, there's a lot of intertwining, including Mike Kirshner, who coached Ben Davis. So didn't even mention that. So that's another interesting sidelight to that story. But
so, yeah, that's how I feel. I like I said, I know those guys over there are ready to get after it over here. They've been waiting a whole year to get the opportunity to face us again. Those guys come back, they knew they blew it. They did. And our team celebrated like crazy on their field, in the locker room, on the bus home. Let's do it all over again and show them, hey, last year wasn't a fluke. We're still Warren Central. We're still very, very good. We're good enough to win state again. Let's let everybody know. Everybody across the city, everybody across the state, let them know that Warren Central football is a whole lot better than that performance we had last week. It's a whole lot better. As a matter of fact, those guys are ready. Those guys are playing some really good football right now. They lost last week against Center Grove, but they were up 27-14 on them at one point. End up losing 35-34 at their place. Coming within one point of beating the two-time defending state champion is substantial. Substantial, to say the least. We haven't been that close with Center Grove, and we haven't been that close against Center Grove since 2019 when we beat them to start the season with my man Kobe Moore, excuse me. And we faced them 5 times since we beat them. Lost the regional game in 2019, got swept in both games in 2020, that's 3. Lost the regular season game against them last year, that's 4. Lost the regular season game against them, that's 5. 5 straight L's against Center Grove. None of them been closer than 4 or 5 points, especially in the last couple of seasons. And these guys had a 2-touchdown lead against them. Got to do better. Because I've said this before, if we aren't playing at our best against the teams like Ben Davis, and forget if we aren't playing against if we aren't playing our best against Ben Davis or Carmel or Center Grove, well, we aren't even playing our best against a team like Lawrence Central and North Central. All those goals, hopes, and aspirations, you kiss those goodbye. Flat out, kiss those goodbye. Because that ain't happening. Not with the way these other teams are playing. So, like I said, we got to do better, man. We must do better. It's Ben Davis. This is rivalry week. This is a game that you will talk about for a long, long time. You'll talk about this game for 20, 30 years. I guarantee you there are going to be guys that played exceptionally. Khalil Howard, 20 years from now, is going to talk about, man, I had one of the best games of my life against Ben Davis when I was a senior. One of the best games of my life, man. We came back, we beat them 57-56 at their place. We were down 20 points. We came back and won it. It was incredible. I helped set up the game-winning touchdown. They couldn't stop me. Who's going to be the guy to make those great plays this year, this week, this game? Because like I said in previous years, everybody has a rival. And there are those games where you say you throw out the record books. This is very true. You definitely throw the record book out against us. I don't care if both of us are 2-2 coming to this game, or 1-3 or 1-2 or whatever, or undefeated. It does not matter. It does not matter. This rivalry is, it's up there with, in my eyes, the greatest rivalries in all sports. You know, you talk about Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas, Auburn, Alabama, Miami, Florida State. Okay? What is it? Green Bay versus Chicago Bears. Those other games, those are good rivalries. Copper Kettle, Carmel Center Grove, Chautauqua Roncalli, Cathedral Roncalli. What is it? The Mutt Sock game, the rail game with New Pal and Mount Vernon. Those are games. Those are rivalry games. Bye. This is the game. This is it. This is the one. All others do not matter. This was the game originally where you had people selling out, crowding out the stands. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people. So many people come to this game. They got people lining up against the fence. Forget the signs that says don't line up against the fence. That's where we are. Players in the mud. Giving it their all. Leaving it all out there on the field for one more inch. That is what makes this rivalry so great. East side, west side, baby. And we all know what's the best side. Man, I should have ended it right there with that. That was pretty good, man. That was pretty good. But before I can do that, I want to give you guys a little bit of an update on some of our guys playing college football. We got guys all over the place, which is phenomenal, phenomenal. Last week, I talked about Derek Allen and Wabash. And they had a great win last week or the week previous This past week, they didn't have as nearly as good of an outcome. Lost to Division III runner-up North Central College. It was a tough one. It was a tough loss for them. Derek Allen didn't have nearly as great of a game as he had in week one. He had 5 catches for 64 yards. But it was brought to my attention by Coach Griner, our offensive line coach, that Quinn Scholler, who I knew was on the team, but I didn't look and see if he had actually played. He's a true freshman, you know, playing college football. A lot of times those guys come in, especially offensive linemen, they give them a year to get acclimated, and then they really get to being a player with them after that. Well, Quinn said, or I guess he just came in there and said, hey, I'm good enough to be a starting player for your offensive line right now. And that's what he's been. Starting offensive tackle for the Wabash Little Giants in their first 2 games. So hats off to Quinn. Very happy for him, man. Continue to be great. Continue to do good things. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys are going to do the rest of the season. Hopefully I'll get to a game later this season. Next, Juju, Julius Brents. And, man, a guy that's really coming to his own, has really taken his game to the next level for the Wildcats of Kansas State. I've always said it. First guy in Warren Central history to go play football in the Big 12, playing some really good football right now. Wildcats are 2-0. They had a big win over one of their former rivals in Mizzou, SEC. Well, they didn't care about that. They blew them out 40 to 12. Didn't care about none of that. He had 4 tackles against them. He had 3 tackles in their opening win against South Dakota as well. And they're playing some really good football, man. So I hope it will be really interesting to see how their game against Kansas later this season goes. I know that's down the road, but Kansas is playing some good football. There's some things turned around over there with the Jayhawks. And that Wildcat-Jayhawk game later in the season, I think it's the end of the season, yeah. That's going to be a very special game. And I know Juju and his guys are going to bring it to let them know who the true powerhouse is in Kansas, in the state of Kansas, when it comes to college football. So continue to do some great things out there. And, you know, I have to talk about my guy, Michael Tutsi, because it is really, really interesting that this is the case for them. Michael has, and I've talked about Michael on the show several times. He's been there, my guys. First season there was 2017. So 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and now 2022. So that's 6 years he's been there. And he's playing great football for North Dakota State. And usually, you know, FBS teams will schedule FCS teams all the time. You know, Iowa and Justin Britt played South Dakota to open the season. Barely won, but they played them. And South Dakota's in their conference. But most of these big schools have been running away from scheduling North Dakota State for some time. And the reason why is because when North Dakota State comes to your place, they will beat you. They've won 6 straight against FBS teams. They will beat you. They are good. They're getting guys drafted, high-level draft picks as well. They will beat you. And they may beat you so bad, it will embarrass you. You thought what Georgia Southern did to Nebraska this past week was bad. Look, Georgia Southern ain't nearly as good as North Dakota State. And I don't care if they are FBS. As a matter of fact, Sagarin Rankings, and if you aren't familiar with Sagarin Rankings rank all teams in college football. And North Dakota State is currently ranked number 58. And this week, they face off against their first Power 5 team, FBS team, whatever, in 6 years. They haven't played a team from this level since 2016, since Iowa in 2016. A game which they won at Iowa. Currently, like I said, they're ranked 58. They are ranked higher than 1, 2, 3, 4 teams from the Pac-12, including the team they are scheduled to go and play at on Saturday night in Arizona. Truly, truly outstanding and remarkable. The program, the powerhouse that is North Dakota State. And what this game, I wish I could go to it. I know Coach Tutsi, he makes it to as many of Michael's games as he possibly can. This is going to be a very interesting game for the Bison and Michael. First time they've gone to the West Coast to face another team. Most of the times, they've gone to Texas a bunch of times, or of course they've gone to Texas to play the national championship. They went to Texas, I think it was 2 years. Oh, it was Texas last spring to face off against Sam Houston State. Most of the times they go east. You know, they've played James Madison out there. They've played a couple other teams. Or maybe it was James Madison National. They've gone to the East Coast before. Going west is going to be a very interesting game. The game will be broadcast live on Fox Sports 1 on, I think it's going to be, it'll be about 10 or 11 o'clock our time. Pac-12 after dark. Hey, it is what it is. West Coast, they won the night game. Stay up late. Do what you got to do. Take some Red Bulls, whatever. Stay up late, because I'm telling you, that is not a game you are going to want to miss. It's going to be real good, and the Bison, first time being on national TV, that's not a national championship game in a long time. So make sure you guys pay attention to that one. Michael, best of luck to you, buddy. You know I'm always pulling for you. Always want to see you do good. Continue to be great. Continue to be a great role model for our guys back here to see somebody doing great things at the next level. And with that, folks, that's all I got to say. I want to win so bad Friday night. I want us to beat them bad. Beat them bad. Beat them down. Have them leaving out of here and going back to that school on girls school road. Like, man. Those guys were tough. Those guys were so much better than what we saw on film. Those guys were physical. Those guys were mean. Those guys were tough. Those guys wore us out. That's what I want those guys to be saying on the way home on Friday night. So, like I say to our players all the time, Are we gonna make plays, or are we gonna get played on? It's all up to you. And with that, folks, I'm your host, Corey the Kid Smith. This has been another great episode of True Warrior Football. Warrior Band, take us away.